from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news read by Ray. First, the headlines. Turkey invest in airport service in Indonesia. University of Indonesia explores cooperation with Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology. And now the news in details. The first news. One of Turkey's airport ground handling service providers, Celebi Aviation, is expanding its business in Indonesia in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia. After the introduction of Celebi Aviation in Jakarta on Thursday, Turkish Ambassador to Indonesia, Talib Kucukan, said that Turkey continues to seek cooperation with Indonesia in all fields. According to Ambassador Kucukan, aviation is an interesting and dynamic thing to work on.
Aviation industry is one of the very dynamic industries in Indonesia, which is a great market for Turkish companies. Today, Celebi Aviation, which is one of the largest in Turkey actually, which is operating in several countries, decided to invest here. I think that shows the confidence in the economy and in the future of Indonesia by Turkish companies. We also would like to see, of course, Indonesian companies to invest in Turkey. So this is a good beginning for our countries to have closer economic relations.
Ambassador Talib Kucukan is optimistic that Turkish companies will come to Indonesia considering historical factors and other similarities. Celebi Aviation invested around 7.5 million euros in the field of ground handling and warehousing spread across 26 airports in Indonesia. After acquiring Indonesian service manager PT Pratiha Titian Nusantara, currently the Turkish company, which was established in 1958, operates on three continents and in six countries, including Indonesia, with more than 60 branches worldwide and has more than 300 customers. Moving on to the second news. University of Indonesia is exploring cooperation with Australia's Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology to support the development of science clusters. Vice Rector for Human Resources and Assets, Dedi Priyadi, said in a statement on Thursday that UI and RMIT have collaborated with the Faculty of Public Health and the Faculty of Computer Sciences. He added that UI's Faculty of Engineering, Faculty of Economics and Business, and Fasilkom provide joint degree and double degree programs. All three offers international cooperation programs through these two programs as an initial form of exploring other collaborations in order to conduct joint research. Meanwhile, Executive Director of RMIT International, Leighton Pike, said he was interested in collaborating, especially in the fields of environment and architecture, art and design. As RMIT strengths, according to Leighton, for RMIT, this step is very good to advance international partnership. The third news, the Maluku Provincial Government cooperates with the Australian government in an effort to improve the quality of human beings in the region. acting governor of Maluku, Sadali Le, in Ambon, Maluku, Thursday said that his government and the Australian government disseminated the third phase of the innovation program with the aim of increasing children's interest in learning in the fields of literacy, numeracy, and character through the development of an education ecosystem. Quoted by Antara, Sadali said he was ready to facilitate this innovation program by coordinating with regents or mayors. Sadali hopes this program can improve the intelligence of Maluku children and make children and teachers technology literate in the midst of current digitalization. He also hopes that this innovation will have a positive impact on realizing Maluku Emas 2045. In the same place, Director of the Third Phase Innovation Program, Mark Heward, said that the Australian government is committed to contributing to improve the human quality of Indonesia as a neighboring country. The fourth news, President of Intelligent Transport System Indonesia, William Sambandar, stated that his side officially volunteered to host the ITS World Congress 2032, which will be held in Nusantara capital. The submission as host was marked by the launch of the Road to ITS World Congress Nusantara 2032 at the closing of the ITS Asia Pacific Forum 2024 in Jakarta on Thursday. William also said the Nusantara capital will be promoted as a city with the world's smart transportation ecosystem. Indonesia's new capital city is expected to become a model of an ideal intelligent transportation ecosystem, which will attract the world's attention. He claimed that the move has been supported by the Secretary General of ITS Pacific Asia, Akio Yamamoto. The ITS World Congress is a prestigious event attended by representatives from all over the world, including from the Americas, Europe, Middle East, Africa, and the Asia-Pacific region. The event will present around 20,000 participants from 100 countries. Moving on to the fifth news, the Indonesian athletics team made achievement at the Second Belt and Road Athletics Invitation meeting, which took place at the Olympic Sports Center, Chongqing, China, from Monday to Wednesday. Quoted by Antara on Friday from a written statement in Indonesia, which sent 10 athletes in various numbers, won one silver medal and one bronze medal. Runner Sri Mayasari successfully won a silver medal in the women's 400 meters run with a record time of 53.62 seconds. The General Secretary of the Executive Board of the Indonesian Athletics Association, Tigor Tanjung, appreciated the efforts of the athletes, who according to him had fought optimally. Tigor also highlighted the achievement of Nela Agustin, who has the potential to break the national record in the women's 200-meter run. Bebe Pasi, its gratitude to the state-owned mining company, Mine ID, for funding support for the development of Indonesia's athletic athletes. The sixth news, South Korea condemned the statement of Kim Yo-jong, sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, who called sending balloons filled with garbage to South Korea a form of freedom of expression of its citizens. Quoted by Yonhap News Agency, the Unification Ministry, which is responsible for inter-Korean affairs, said it was absurd for North Korea to talk about freedom of expression, according to the ministry. Quoted in a release of Thursday, because freedom of speech in North Korea has been undermined under strict state surveillance. North Korea flew hundreds of large balloons carrying garbage and dirt into South Korea on Tuesday and Wednesday, after the country warned of retaliation against a Seoul activist campaign that sent anti-Pyongyang leaflets across the border. The seventh news, Iran began official registration of presidential candidates Thursday ahead of snap vote next month to replace previous president Ebrahim Raisi, who was killed in a helicopter crash. According to IRNA News Agency, registration for presidential candidates began at 8 a.m. local time at Iran's home ministry for the next 5 days. The election was originally scheduled for 2025, but was brought forward after Raisi's sudden death on May 19th. Iranian television reported about 30 people applied for candidacy, but none of them met the basic requirements for qualification. According to Iran's election law, presidential candidates must be between 40 until 75 years old and have at least a master's degree. The final list of candidates will be announced on June 11th by the Guardian Council, a 12-member league appointed or approved by Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. And the final news. Iran's General Staff report said no evidence of electronic warfare, intervention, or sabotage was found in the helicopter crash that killed Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi and Iranian Foreign Minister Amir Abdollahian, as reported by Anadolu. According to the second preliminary, the helicopter's maintenance and repair records were checked and no problems were found. The report also mentioned that no emergencies occurred in communication with the crew up to 69 seconds before the crash. Authorities said the investigation will continue until the exact cause is found and the result will be made public. The helicopter crashed in Iran's East Azerbaijan province on May 19th. And that was Newsline.
Commentary today is on Middle East Peace Conference needs to be held immediately. Chinese President Xi Jinping called for a Middle East Peace Conference to discuss the war raging between Israel and Hamas. Xi Jinping conveyed this when speaking at the China-Arab Countries Cooperation Forum in Beijing Thursday, May the 13th. The meeting was attended by the heads of state of Bahrain, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and Tunisia, as well as the foreign ministers of the Arab League countries and host China. Xi Jinping stated that he felt very sad about the serious situation currently occurring in Gaza Strip. Xi reiterated that China supports a broad-based peace conference to resolve the conflict. It is not the first time Xi Jinping voiced the call to hold a Middle East peace conference. Quoted from AFP, in a meeting with Hamas and Fatah figures last April, Chinese President Xi Jinping called for an international peace conference to end the Palestinian-Israeli war. The proposal to hold a Middle East peace conference was also conveyed by several parties. At the 33rd summit of the Arab League countries led by Bahrain on May 16, 2024, Arab leaders supported the proposal to hold a Middle East conference. The King of Bahrain, Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa, also made a call to hold a conference for peace on Thursday, May 23rd. During his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow, he emphasized that, for the first time, Arab countries had one voice on the issue of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The Middle East Peace Conference needs to be held immediately by taking advantage of the momentum of the unity of Arab countries. The King of Bahrain explained that Russia was the first country that Bahrain asked for support in holding peace conference regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. According to him, Russia is one of the most influential countries on the international stage. The Middle East Peace Conference is very urgent and important to be held immediately, considering that the war in Gaza has been going on for months with thousands of casualties, the majority of whom are civilians. The peace conference allowed the parties to not only exchange views, but also harmonize their positions and differences. If implemented, it is hoped that the Middle East Peace Conference will produce substantive practical decisions aimed at resolving the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The Middle East Peace Conference is also expected to agree on permanent steps to implement a two-state solution in accordance with UN resolutions. That was commentary.
I'll begin today in history with May 31st, 1977. Trans-Alaska Pipeline System completed. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline System is a petroleum transportation system via pipeline in Alaska, United States. It is one of the largest pipeline systems in the world. Its pipe length is more than 1,200 kilometers. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline stretches from Prudhoe Bay in northern Alaska to Valdez City in southern Alaska. Even though it was surrounded by controversy regarding its impact on the environment, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline system started being built in 1974 and was completed on May 31, 1977. Moving on through May 31, 1987, No Tobacco Day initiated. World No Tobacco Day is commemorated every May 31st. This day aims to draw world attention to the negative impact of tobacco use on health, as well as steps to reduce tobacco use, including smoking. World No Tobacco Day was initiated by member countries of the World Health Organization on May 31, 1987. This year, World No Tobacco Day focuses on efforts to protect children from the influence of the tobacco industry. I'll end today in history with May 31st, 2008. Runner Usain Bolt sets the first world record. Usain Bolt is a former runner from Jamaica who was born in 1986. He was the world record holder in the 100 meter, 500 meters, and 4 times 100 meters relay. On May 31, 2008, he broke the 100 meter world record at the Reebok Grand Prix Center at Icahn Stadium, New York City, United States. At that time, Usain Bolt completed the 100 meter run in 9.72 seconds. This was one of Usain Bolt's first world records before setting world records in subsequent competitions. And that's today in history. You know you're everything to me, and I could never see the two. And you know I give myself to you, and no matter what you do, I promise you my heart. I build a world around you, and I want you to know I need you like I've never needed anyone before.
There's only one thing you can do.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia is ready to cooperate in nuclear tech development for renewable energy. The Indonesian government is preparing the development of the small module reactor that can be a source from renewable energy to food preservation. That was stated by Deputy for International Economic Cooperation Coordination at the Coordinating Ministry for Economy, Edi Prio Pambudi, during a media briefing in Jakarta on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara. According to Edi Prio, the nuclear reactor was important not only for manufacturing but also to improve export quality by food irradiation. Edi explained that the small modular reactor TEH can also generate renewable energy to support the semiconductor industry that will be the focus of Indonesia's industry in the future. The small modular reactor was also seen to have a different technology from other nuclear reactors. The TEH will be built at Gosong Beach, West Kalimantan. Currently, Indonesia plans to develop a nuclear power plant in 2025 up to 2035, which was written in the Government Regulation Number 14/2015 on National Industry Development Master Plan. In a small modular reactor TEH development, Indonesia cooperated with USDOS through the Foundational Infrastructure for the Responsible Use of SMR Technology, FIRST. FIRST program aims to deepen Indonesia's comprehension about security, proliferation, and safety of nuclear technology as an eco-friendly energy. Therefore, on 28 February 2023, there was a signing of contract of technical assistance between PLN Indonesia Power and U.S. Trade and Development Agency. The small modular reactor development study consists of 18 chapters, which among many discuss site evaluation, soil tech, fuel resources, grid impact, cost, stakeholder communication, as well as risk mitigation and studies. The grant agreement fund from USDA was around $2.3 million. Edi further remarked that Indonesia will also explore cooperation for small modular reactor development with South Korea. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hai, apa kabar kau di sana? Sudah bertahun tak bertemu. Ku tak perlu bicara, hanya ingin dengar suaramu. Aku rindu.
Hey, aku baik-baik saja. Lama tak ku dengar darimu. Aku lelah menunggu, hanya ingin melihat wajahmu. Aku rindu.
Mungkin dunia mencoba pisahkan kita, tapi ada cara agar kita bersama.
Tapi ku perlu tahu, apakah benar-benar cinta padaku?
Kan ku beri seluruh nafasku.
Apakah benar-benar mengerti aku?
Hanya kau yang mengenal aku, tiada yang lain.
lahirlah sebuah cerita,
lahirlah sebuah cerita.
Perjalanan kita berdua
menyatu sampai selamanya.
Yang kan ku kenang selamanya, mengulang setiap kata-kata yang kau ucap.
Tapi ada cara agar kita bersama.
Tapi ku perlu tahu, apa kau benar-benar cinta padaku?
Kan ku beri seluruh nafasku.
Apa kau benar-benar terus berlalu, walau ku takkan mampu untuk menunggu,
merindu sesuatu yang tak tentu. Apakah kita bisa kembali bersama?
Tapi ku perlu tahu, apakah benar-benar cinta padaku?
Kan ku beri seluruh nafasku.
Apakah benar-benar mengerti aku?
Hanya kau yang mengenal aku.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. May 21st, Bilebante Green Tourism Village, Central Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, became the main location for World Book Day 2024. The event was centered at Pasar Pancingan by holding a book review event. Bilabante Green Tourism Village is one of the tourism destinations in central Lombok. It presents its natural beauty typical of the countryside. The village is 15.6 kilometers from the city center, which can be reached in about 26 minutes by driving. When you arrive in Bilabante village, it's time for you to tour the village by bicycle or ATV. You can feel the cool atmosphere of the village while pedaling from residential areas, riverbanks, rice fields, vegetable and fruit gardens, Lime Bridge, and the oldest temple in central Lombok, the Lingkar Kelud Temple. If you are lucky, you can also watch farmers planting rice and the process of making a local specialty hat called kekere. The fertile soil of Bilabante village is overgrown with a variety of herbal plants that are very good for health. You can witness the planting and breeding of the herbal gardens by village youth. You will be guided to learn about the health of these herbs. Seaweed farming is usually done on the beach, but this village is unique because there is seaweed cultivation in the rice field of Bilabante village. The seaweed harvest is used as raw material for making serabi or rice flour pancake with coconut milk. You must taste the seaweed serabi of Bilabante village. Listener, for those of you who like fishing, you can go to the Pancingan Market. There, you can do fishing activities in the pond. Uniquely, the result of the fishing can be directly processed into fish-based dishes. For those who like cooking, you can join cooking class tour package. You can try making herbal medicine, moringa leaf vegetables and merangkat chicken, and pleching in the style of Bilabante tourist city. The atmosphere of the cooking class is quite pleasant, surrounded by plantations around the Pancingan Market. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Mungkin saja ada Tuhan.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about Gajah Mada University, one of renowned universities in Indonesia that kept innovating in various science and technology fields. One of their latest innovations was an unmanned aerial vehicle, or UAV, by a lecturer team from Gajah Mada University, or UGM. This innovation didn't only show the achieved tech advancement, but also a wide practical application for various sectors in Indonesia. A lecturer of engineering faculty at Gajah Mada University, Professor Gesang Nugroho, develops two unmanned aerial vehicles named Palapa S1 and Palapa S2. The two aircraft with 2-meter and 3.3-meter long were equipped with an autopilot system and flight capability according to the coordinates. Gesang explained that the Palapa S1, which was developed for 2.5 years, can fly 6 hours non-stop, while the second one can fly for 10 hours. Gesang explained that Palapa S1 has used Wi-Fi transmission with 50 km/h. According to him, Palapa S1 can reach 300 km, but the image and video communication is cut off, while the Palapa S2 uses a satellite telemetry with unlimited flight capability. Listener, Gesang said UAV technology has been developing rapidly. Not only being a high-tech device, it is also a revolutionary breakthrough that changes our perspective about the world. UAV can be used in military and civil sectors like agriculture, disaster, and environment surveillance. That's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Ku cari tahu tentangmu, tanggal dan tahun lahirmu. Ku pelajari rasi bintang, menebak pribadimu, toko kartun favoritmu, dan warna kegemaranmu. Ku telusuri di titik mana kita akan bertemu. Bius aku dengan tatapanmu, tatapanmu. Menyiksaku tapi sungguh candu Likaliku labirinmu, takkan urungkan niatku. Betapa ku yakin kita berdua bisa menyatu. Jebak aku dalam labirinmu. Satu dia di warnamu, pesonamu. Jebak aku dalam labirinmu. Tersesatku dia di warnamu, pesonamu.
cari tahu tentangmu, tanggal dan tahun lahirmu. Ku pelajari rasi bintang menebak pribadimu. Bius aku dengan tatapanmu, tatapanmu. Menyisaku tapi sungguh candu, sungguh candu, sungguh candu. Jebak aku dalam labirinmu, labirinmu, labirinmu. Tersesatku dia di warnamu, pesonamu. Dikaliku labirinmu, takkan urungkan niatku. Betapa ku yakin kita berdua bisa.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Central Java entitled Banyu Langit, which was composed by Didik Prasetyo, or well known with the name Didi Kempot. The song Banyu Langit was released in 2016, and its video showed for the first time at platform YouTube on June 11, 2017. Many songs of Didi Kempot have the theme Broken Heart. Likewise with Banyu Langit, which also tells a story of deep sorrow. This song tells the story of someone who was left by a lover for no particular reason and the promise of not being gone for long. The longing for a lover to return is described in the song Banyu Langit until it is heard and felt by the cold of Mount Merapi. Here is the song Banyu Langit from Solo, Central Java, which is sung by Jodily Warwick. Enjoy the song.
Siram udan ning dalu. Jakarta janjine lengane ra nganti suwe-suwe pamit esok lengane ra nganti sore janjine
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.